work tonight. This is Brother Buddy. Joining me live tonight from Conyers, Georgia, is Brother Arnold. And Brother Blake is bringing us in with, he's changing me. Brother Arnold, you know, since we got into this message of the sacred name, we've been blessed to be changed by the Creator. And, you know, if we're no smarter than we was 20 years ago when we got in this, in our message that we've got now, the name, the sacred name, and the appointments and the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Brother Arnold, the Bible said to grow in grace and knowledge, and that's exactly what we're trying to do prayerfully. And we fasted, we prayed, we've honored our Creator, we've served Him the best of our knowledge. And you know, the Bible says when you draw near to Him, He's going to draw near to you, Brother Arnold. And by drawing near, we have to have that special day now, that rest day that He indicated that He would come and gather among us. Now, we know that we are His chosen people. We know that we are His temple, and the Bible said He won't dwell in an unclean temple. And another thing, Brother Arnold, He will not honor anybody that's out of sync, synchronization of time, because when He gathers on His day, and if you're not there, you're just absent. And it's very necessary to get the correct day, Brother Arnold. Now, I want to ask you a question, Brother Arnold. We just left off last week, and we were talking about the fact that the two Sabbaths after the count at Pentecost, which it said tomorrow, after the Sabbath here was the 15th, and He said to number the seven Sabbaths complete. Now, you made a mention that we need to elaborate on and start our message tonight, that those first two Sabbaths starting off with a B on a lunar count. Could you elaborate on that?
Right, Brother Buddy. First let me say that, you know, we're earnestly contending for the week and the Sabbath that was, you know, delivered to the saints.
Right.
We want to know what that Sabbath was when He spoke to Moses on the 15th day of the moon. And then, you know, reveal the Sabbath to him on the 22nd day of the moon.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the count of Pentecost conclusively proves that they were observing lunar weeks, not solar weeks. See, the only week people know of today is the solar week of 1 through 7 and the solar month of 30 to 31 days.
Right.
You know, things. And they can make things work, but it ain't on His timetable, but to prove our point about the Pentecost and different, and plus you've got to know Leviticus 23:16 teaches to count seven Sabbaths, then number 50 days. So you count seven Sabbaths even to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Then you number 50 days and then bring the new grain offering or new meat offering. And you don't count seven Sabbaths, then bring it. It says count seven Sabbaths first, then number 50 days. Well, this puts you on the true Pentecost. But not going into that this time, but let's go into the Septuagint, and, you know, there's more quotes of the Old Testament quotes in the New Testament that's taken directly out of the Septuagint.
Correct.
And scholars believe that this is the Bible that not only the Greek-speaking Jews, but the Christians of that day used, because, you know, they were Greek-speaking people.
Correct.
This was the Messiah and apostles quoted from it, so, you know, it's legit. But anyhow, what I want to stress is today, it wasn't so back then because they understood, but today people say, well, do you count the Pentecost from the morrow after the weekly Sabbath that they claim floats back and forth through the days of unleavened bread?
Right.
On any day, it just floats or migrates there in them days. Or do you count Pentecost from the morrow after the Sabbath, that what they call the half-day Sabbath, because we believe it's the weekly Sabbath, which would be the 16th. You know, 15th, and the morrow after is the 16th.
Correct.
Now, even Samuel Bakayoko in his book, and he wrote articles in there, he acknowledges in his books, God Festivals in Scripture and History, and part one of Spring Festivals. But he even acknowledged that most of the Jews counted from the 16th, which I believe they all did, but he can't deny. He says the reason for this is because the Septuagint, he said Philo and Josephus counted that way, and Septuagint's teachers count that way. And not only that, he said the fifth chapter of Joshua teaches that's the way they've done it. It supports it. Of course, he counted from the wheat that falls within unleavened bread. Cause the reason he done it, he knew that you're supposed to count from the mar after the weekly Sabbath, but he didn't understand that the mar after the weekly Sabbath is the mar after the 15th, which is the 16th.
Correct.
The point that we brought up last week is the 16th is going to be the first day of the first week of the count of Pentecost. Now, if they started counting for their weeks on the 16th, their seventh day of their first week will be the 22nd, because you'll have the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21, and like he told Moses, you won't find it the next day. It's the Holy Shabbat. It'll be the 22nd.
Right.
Okay, that's your first week. You know, you count seven Sabbaths complete, or seven full weeks. Your second full week will still be by the moon. It'll be on the 29th day of the moon.
Correct.
You'll count six work days. Now, here's where the catch comes in. Your last Sabbath there of that month on the 29th, and Ezekiel 46, 1 and 3 teaches that you leave the gate open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon for worship. He said they're worship days, and you don't count them with the six working days. In other words, the gates are shut the six working days, he said, but open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. This is what people are missing in that, Brother Buddy. It says, and the day of the new moon. So at the end of the month, you leave that gate open on the day of the new moon, and then you begin your six work days again, and your next Sabbath, that'll be on the 8th. You got six working days, you rest the seventh day, but it'll be the 8th day of the month.
Exactly right.
Now, okay, here's what they're doing. Now listen to this. We didn't mention this last week, but I think that tape got messed up anyhow. We did it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the first week of Pentecost begins on the 16th, that's the first day of the week. Now, these are lunar weeks because they're on the same date each year. Now, they can only be lunar. A solar week won't work. Now, if you count backwards, going back the other way, the 15th would have been the seventh day of the second week of the month.
Right.
Now, I hope people are following me because this is important. Then count on back. The week before that would have ended on the 8th day of the month, and you count on back, you'll see that the new moon worship day wasn't counted when counting out the week.
Correct.
Now, here's what we want to point out. Of course, this is why Philo, who read from the Septuagint, could say things like that, and he didn't have no bones to pick. He was just, you know, spiritually talking to the people, and I'll tell you in a minute who Philo was, but he lived at the time the Messiah did. And in his writings, he said that there's a full moon at the end of the second week, which will be a 15th. So the weeks were determined by the phases of the moon. Now, this is before Julius Caesar phased in this solar week, solar month. In other words, they were back then had lunar months with four lunar weeks in each month. We'll be in the new heaven, new earth, too. He said, from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come worship on them days.
Right.
Okay. What we need to point out, people, if the Hebrew text taught the Hebrew-speaking Jews to be there for Pentecost, you count from the mar after the weekly Sabbath, and then the Greek-speaking Jews, when they read in the Septuagint, it taught them to count from the mar after the 15th.
Right.
And we say there's no contradictory there, because the mar after the 15th is the mar after the week of Sabbath, and we can prove it because they were at Pentecost on the same day in the book of Acts. The proselytes, they read the Greek-speaking people, the Christians, the early Christians, read from the Septuagint also, so they would have been there. At the same time also, it said they were people from Egypt, and, you know, they spoke Greek and
proselytes
and
right.
from all around, from every kindred, nation, and tongue. And they were there on the day of Pentecost, and that's only possible if they started their count on the same day,
brother. Oh man!
You know they got that. So that they had to been keeping lunar weeks back in, and just because people don't keep lunar weeks today, and on that Roman pagan calendar it counts 1 through 7 over and over. You know, I don't know if people are catching what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
but that's just one of the ways Pentecost can be proven that. Did you know Philo? Those of you who've never heard of Philo, he was a Levite priest. And he lived at the time. I made a little article on some you know what he had wrote.
Right.
And I read just a little bit.
Go ahead. Yeah. Take your time, Brother Arnold.
It don't matter about if we can find out. Listen to this. If we can all agree that the Messiah kept the right Sabbath, I mean, I think that's the absolute. I believe everybody would believe that. But whether he did or not, when you go back and check history. You're not checking to see if it was done right. You're just checking to see how they done it, whether it's right or wrong. If you go back and check and you see they worshiped idol gods, you know.
Right.
We know it ain't right, but, you know, we know how they done it.
Correct.
You know, Egypt and in Babylon and different places, you know, of course, they had true worshipers there too, Joseph and Daniel was down there in Babylon, Joseph in Egypt. But anyhow, when you go back in the quest for historical evidence as it relates to which Sabbath did the people keep, you know, during the time of the Messiah, we've noticed that Philo is not often mentioned by those who support Saturday Sabbath. Now, we'll tell you why here in a minute. Now, you say, well, why are the writings of Philo the Levite priest and others so important? If, you know, see, it don't matter if they were right or wrong. What matters is that he was chosen to lead a delegate to Rome over the persecution of the Jews, and he would not have been chosen for such a monumental task had he kept a bogus or a different Sabbath than the rest of the Jews.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Now, the New Testament teaches that, you know, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. He didn't say, well, this ain't the Sabbath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He kept the same Sabbath as they did. He just said the Sabbath was made for man and many other passages, so I don't think nobody would can intelligently argue that they kept two different Sabbaths. So whatever Sabbath that Philo kept to represent the Jews over when he went over to Rome to about the persecution was the same Sabbath that the Apostle Paul and them kept.
Amen. Amen.
And all of, okay, well, if we can prove that Philo kept lunar weeks, lunar months, lunar weeks, with a lunar Sabbath at the end of the lunar week, this is the biblical week. This is the one before they think to change times and laws like Daniel prophesied they would do.
Amen.
The Sabbath they're keeping now is the one they changed to.
Amen.
They changed from something to something.
Amen.
Some people say it was Sunday, but no. The Catholics acknowledge that Saturday is the seventh day of the week. They didn't change. They changed the holiness of the day. Julius Caesar actually done something. You look in any encyclopedia, he actually done something that changed times. In other words, he booted the moon and he told the man Socrates, he said, let's don't use the moon, make us a calendar. Let's don't use the moon.
That's what he
accolade the calendar.
That's what he said.
So before that, they used it. So What happened is when they booted the moon, what Yahweh had joined together, they booted the moon out of the picture, the 4 weeks went with it, so they started counting the moon as one of the 6 working days when it come around. They had to. Before that, they just had new moon, then 6 working days.
Correct.
So when they started counting the new moon as one of the 6 working days, like Yahweh teaches Ezekiel don't do, well, then they started counting 1 through 7 for their 7th day.
Correct.
And anyhow, if you go back here and you look in Philo, you know, he says things like, and he's not trying, he said, now concerning the 4th commandment, he said the one about the 7th day, and then he was talking about how that there were 2 feasts each year that lasted 7 days, and he said they both begin, listen, he said they begin, there's 2 7th days in them 7 days feast. And that's true no matter what you believe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he said, he teaches that there's a seventh day that begins the feast, which we know they both begin on the 15th.
Right.
And Philo, he lived back over the Jews. He'd have got stoned, if, you know, saying something. And he said there's a seventh day that ends the feast. Of course, that's the seventh day of the feast. But that seventh day that ends the feast ain't no seventh day of the week. But that seventh day that begins it is, and there's other places where he teaches this. But anyhow, he's making, when we read and look at the evidence in Philo, now remember, he's an eyewitness, Brother Buddy. He lived at that time. And let me give you some documentation where you can go back. Now this is in Philo on Philo on Maiden with the preliminary studies, chapter XIX, 19, right?
Right.
Page 102, or not page 102, but 102. You know, in that's how they do it. It says that this is where it tells about that the end of the second week is a full moon at the end of the second week. And so these weeks here had to have been lunar weeks. And nowhere in his writing did he mention Servant's Day or Saturday or any other week other than the lunar week. If you let me look on down through here in my little article. And I don't want to read it all and take up all the time.
Go ahead, brother. You're doing good.
He's just relating how things was done in his day at the time of Messiah. Now, he could have related how candles was made. Now, whether it's right or wrong, and they were made right or wrong, don't matter. We're looking to see how it was done.
Amen.
But when we look in his writing, and him being a well-respected leader of the Jewish people back then, he kept the right Sabbath, as the Messiah did, and they were lunar.
Right.
And you know, that ought to be worth something for in our search for truth. Now, did he ever mention that the Sabbaths could be found by counting from the new moon? He certainly did. What he said, and a lot of people are going to try to twist this around, but the answer is yes. He says that in the Decalogue, chapter 20, 96, says, the fourth commandment has reference to the sacred seventh day. And we all agree with that. That it may be passed in a sacred and holy manner. Some states keep the holy festival only once in the month, counting from the new moon.
Right.
It is a day sacred to the Almighty, but the nation of the Jews keep every seventh day regularly after each interval of 6 days. In other words, you got your new moon, 6 work days. Now the opponents will say, well, they keep every seventh day just bam, 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 but that ain't what this is saying. He's stressing that some states keeps it only once, counting from the new moon. Now, listen to this, but he calls it the holy festival. Now, how did they get to the holy festival counting for the new moon if it was some bogus thing? He didn't say he was keeping a bogus Sabbath, but he was stressing they were keeping it only once a month, counting from the new moon. But anyhow, I got a lot on that, but if anybody's interested. But in allegorical interpretation, four and then eight, Philo states again, the periodical changes of the moon takes place according to the number seven. That star having the greatest sympathy with the things on earth, as the changes which the moon works in the air, it perfects chiefly in accordance with its own configuration on each seventh day. Now, it didn't say every seventh day. It says on each seventh day. Now, they didn't call it. Sometimes they would call it by the Hebrew terms Shabbat or Sabbath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, the Greek-speaking Jews and the Septuagint just simply refer to it as the seventh day.
Gotcha.
And it goes on, it keeps on and goes on down, and he talks about, you know, I told you how. Let me find that so I can document where he talks about the 15th beginning the feast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is, I think, I see. Well, let me give you this. In Special Laws 1, 178, speaks of intervals of 6 work days, lunar intervals, Philo writes, there's one principle of reason by which the moon waxes and wanes in equal intervals, both as it increases and diminishes in illumination. And he talks about the seven lamps, because it receives the perfect shapes in periods of 7 days. The half moon in the first seven day period after its conjunction with the sun. Now, this is, remember, the conjunction with the sun, that's the new moon day. He tells this in another place. But anyhow, full moon in the second, talking about the second week,
right.
And when it makes its return again, the first to half moon, then it ceases at conjunction with the sun. But anyhow, it tells about, let me go on down here.
Okay.
It's a fairly lengthy article, but I want to give them some documentation on what it says there. Now, we know that even the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia acknowledged that the weeks were risen by the moon, and the seventh day week was risen by the moon.
Right.
And anybody that wants to know the honest truth can really check this up. Now, here it is right here. Here's what he says in the Decalogue, chapter 30, 159. He says, but to the seventh day of the week, he has assigned the greatest festivals, those of the longest duration. Now, when he's talking about greatest festivals, talking about the longest duration, talking about the two feet, at the periods of the equinox, both vernal and autumn, and each year, appointing two festivals for these two epochs, each lasting 7 days. The one which takes place in the spring, being the perfection of things sown, it goes on, and one that's in the fall.
Right.
But anyhow, he's talking about that these two feasts that last 7 days is
right.
Assigned to the weekly seventh day. Now, both of these feasts begins on the 15th, right?
Right.
That's the weekly seventh day that they're assigned to, and he said they last for 7 days. Now, listen to this, the Decalogue in chapter 30, 158-159. Now, we're just giving a little historical evidence to prove. We've proved it from the scripture, mathematical account, the international date line, just any way you want to prove it. We're just giving a little historical evidence, then I'll hush. Let me read a couple. Okay, Decalogue.
Take 30, your time on
it. Chapter 30, 158-159. Okay, it says, in the fourth commandment, it says, the one about the seventh day, now there's no argument there, we must not look upon in any other light than its summary of all laws relating to festivals and of the purification rites enjoined to the observer on each of them. But the service appointed for them was only of holy abluation for their prayers, observing to be heard, and perfect sacrifice. And in speaking, now listen to this, and in speaking of the seventh here, talking about the seventh day, right, the week of seventh day,
right.
He said, I mean both that which is combined with the number six, he says the most generous of all numbers, and also that which without being combined with the number six is added to it. This one example by itself, it concludes the proof. You think of what he's saying. Here's what Colson of Philo, you know, you got two translations of Philo. You got the Young's, and I got them both, in the Colson translation of Philo,
right.
In the same thing. It reads, the fourth commandment, which treats of the seventh day, must be regarded as nothing less than a gathering under one head of the feast and the purifications ordained for each feast. Now, we know that's on the 15th. The proper lunations and the acceptable prayers and flawless sacrifice with which the ritual was carried out, he says, now by the seventh, I mean both, the seventh which includes the most creative of numbers six, and that which does not include it, but takes precedence of it and resembles the unit. Both these are employed by him in reckoning the feast day. In other words, both the weekly Sabbath and the last day of the feast, the seventh day. In other words, I know this will be hard, but when it says both, by both, it's talking about there's one seventh day that begins these feasts, and that's the weekly seventh day. You know, we went into it last week how that the scripture even calls the 15th the seventh day.
That is
correct.
Of course,
we can go to my website. I'll give it at the end and read this, so I won't have to take up all our time reading through it. But there's a bunch more in here. But the bottom line is this. If the Messiah kept the same Sabbath as Philo, the Messiah and the early Christians that read from the step to it kept lunar week and a lunar Sabbath at the end of the lunar week. It's just that simple.
Brother Arnold, there's also, we're talking about historical documents, and you've been mentioning Philo and and some of the other examples of history that proves that they kept a lunar calendar. And we haven't talked much about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Would you like to elaborate on those Dead Sea Scrolls that are considered by scholars to be authored by the Essenes, which was a sect in the first century that lived out in the desert, actually west of Jerusalem. And by interpreting some of the scrolls, it has been determined that they kept two calendars. One, they kept a solar calendar, and then they kept a lunar calendar, and they mentioned the fact of the new moon and the appointments and the festivals. And we've already proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the scriptures synchronize themselves with the lunar count of all of the festivals, which always begins on the 15th, and that's always a full moon. And then it went for 7 days, and then on the 8th day of that great festival, they had a holy convocation, and they worshiped on that day. So we've already established that, as you say, in part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. We've missed part 4 and couldn't get it recorded, but we've got tonight, we're going to bring part 4, and then we'll do part 5, Brother Arnold. And then we'll get into what we determined to get into a little bit earlier, which was the count to Pentecost. And of course, we've meshed these two in here. Elaborate a little bit about the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Well, I read the Dead Sea Scrolls, and as anybody knows that looks into it, it's real choppy. And, you know, a lot of times they had to guess at some of the things it's saying and everything. And, but here's what nobody can miss. It's like you said, that they've got two calendars in front of them. The reason I know this, they looking at it much like we do today. Back then, you got to remember that the solar Sabbath and the solar months and stuff like that was being phased in when Julius Caesar, you check encyclopedia, introduced this calendar in 46 BC, and it's beginning to phase in for commercial reasons. People are getting on it, and, you know, for the work stuff. Well, anyhow, you see them saying things like this, Brother Buddy. They were making a count. They said, now, the new moon's going to fall here on the 25th.
Okay.
Now, we know there ain't no new moon on the 25th.
Correct.
So they got to be talking. You got to know that the new moon ain't part of that calendar that they're showing where it falls. Like,
right,
people
on.
Call us. They say, what day is the Sabbath falling on? You know, we can tell them through the whole year or whatever. So what these writers were doing, what they were showing where the new moon's going to fall. But then here's a kicker. Then they get over and they say, well, the Sabbath's going to fall here. The reason they're saying that is because the seventh-day Sabbath is not part of that calendar either.
Amen.
Because if it was, if the Sabbath was just a 1 through 7, they wouldn't have to say it's going to fall here. It would just be there, every 1 through 7, 1 through 7. So, and then there's other places where it showed the Day of Atonement's going to fall here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it liable to be on the 18th, you know. And we know the Day of Atonement's on the 10th, you know.
Right.
So, when you read at it and look at it, and it's showing you, you know that there was two calendars in view here.
Amen.
And so just like today, they were showing people when it was coming in, going out of Brother Lunar Sabbath onto the solar. Now we made calendars showing them where they're going to fall, going back to the lunar.
Amen.
And you know, that's just basically what I see in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Like I say, it's real choppy, but that's easy. You can find that out because they've got, you know, fragments. And they've even got one written in Paleo Hebrew. Now listen to this.
Okay.
It tells how that it gives, I think, days 1 through 28. I'm not sure. You know, the rest of it was so badly destroyed. But it talked about the having a, it that said the moon would rule all day in the sky on the 8th day of the month, talking about.
Right.
And it said, and then when it gets evening, talking about when it gets dark, we know the day would end then. He said, then it would get dark And then the moon, you could see it because, you know, during the day you see it up there in the sky, but when it gets dark, the sun, you know, lights it up. And it says it begins to be revealed on the ninth day of the, on the first day of the week, which would be the ninth day of the month. I don't know if I'm saying this where people can understand it, but what it's saying is if the ninth day is the first day of the week every month, that means the eighth day was the seventh day of the week if the ninth day is the first day of the week. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, when it got dark on the first day of the week and the ninth day of the month, now this is in Paleo Hebrew, real ancient Hebrew. He just let it survive there. And it shows that that they were even way on back yonder, that the first day of the week would be the ninth day of the month, so the seventh day of the week would be the eighth day of the month. But, you know, it's just so much and so choppy. I got an article, I got some information on it on my website, if anybody wants to go over and look at it. But it's just, look for Sabbath is one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture.
Well,
it's hard to get somebody to look at because of tradition.
Exactly right. Now, what you're saying here is that the Essenes were basically using the calendar of that day, which was a solar calendar, but in their worship, they were superimposing the lunar calendar and marking those days on the solar calendar so that, just like today, Brother Arnold, you know, when you and I make a calendar, we superimpose it to keep down. Now, it's very simple to make a lunar calendar. Once you get the spring equinox and you get the first new moon after the equinox, it's very easy to go 1-8-15-22 and 29 and then mark the calendar as such. But when you do that, we tried that, if you remember, when we first started doing the calendars, and it was so confusing because everybody is used to a Roman calendar, and they wouldn't know what day of the month because they were only knowledgeable in the solar calendar of the Gregorian. Yeah. And then we came back, if you remember, and we superimposed the system of the lunar calendar over the Gregorian so that they could know. Let's say that the new moon fell on the third or the fourth of the month, whatever the case was, and we indicated as such, and that the full moon would have been on the 11th or 12th of that day. That's the Brother Arnold. That's the same thing that those people there, the Essenes, were doing, so that they could keep two sets of they were obviously worshiping on the lunar calendar, the feast days, because we know that, and they kept a lunar calendar for their correct time. However, people were so evolved or into the solar calendar of the Greeks, even at that time. And you mentioned, I believe it was Julius Caesar in 2 B.C. That came
46
in...
46 B.C.
46 B.C., I'm sorry. Well, that's even farther back. And then we go, of course, we get into the 13th century where Pope Gregory, he rearranged the calendar by setting an international dateline and factoring in such factors as we've talked about the Gregorian. And we got proof after proof. We have proven, Brother Arnold, day in and day out on this series, that the proof that the weekly cycles are determined by the moon, and it's always on 8, 15, 22, and 29. Now, again, let's remind
those
the people.
Those are your 7 days of the week. 8,
yes.
15, 22, 29. 8,
15, 22, and 29. And we offer, now this, and we don't offer this, and I know you don't offer it because you do make the offer. And I had a fellow to tell me one time, he said, well, if we could prove that Sabbaths fell on any other day of the week, would you have the money to pay up? I said, well, I wouldn't have, but I know somebody that does have. So I was referring to you, you know.
Yeah, right.
I was going to borrow the money off of you.
I would gladly pay $10,000 to not preach false doctrine. It'd be worth that to me.
Amen. And so, but nobody, I mean, Brother Arnold, how long have you been offering? And we don't do that to expose everybody's ignorance, because like I said, we were Seventh-day Saturday keepers ourselves. You kept it for years and years, and I kept it for around 20 years. So we were very honest, and we were doing it by the only calendar we had. We didn't.
I was going to a Sunday church and keeping it. I said, I want to keep the seventh day, not the first day of the week.
Exactly.
But that's only going to work if it was the weeks and the way they were doing it. Before we get too far off, let me mention this.
Okay.
There was one guy tried to argue with me. He said, well, I don't care what Philo says. I believe he was a Pharisee and this, that, and other, and that's the way they done it and all that. He said, but the Essenes kept a 1 through 7 solar Sabbath. And I said, well, tell me this. Philo and Josephus both talked about the Essenes and their holiness and how well they kept the weekly Sabbath. And Philo and Josephus makes mention of Philo. Now, Josephus makes mention of Philo and calls him Philo the Elder. And if Philo kept a different Sabbath, now we already done proved that Philo kept lunar Sabbath. Now, if the Essenes kept a solar Sabbath, how could he say and brag on how holy it was in keeping the Sabbath and stuff? I couldn't do that to a Saturday person.
No, you couldn't.
Now, if Philo and both Josephus made mention of them in their Sabbath keeping, so if Philo mentioned the Essenes, they would have had to keep the same Sabbath that he did, and we know that was lunar, the same one the Messiah kept.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, Josephus made mention of them and praised them in their Sabbath keeping, so he had to have kept lunar Sabbaths also.
Oh.
You can't praise somebody in error.
No, you
cannot. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm following you very well, and I hope everybody out there is following what we're trying to say here.
I can give you all these quotes and where they're found. Now, this is quotes from these guys ain't saying this just having bones to pick. They're just telling you about a sect that lived back then called the Essenes.
Right.
And they're the ones that wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. So following them tells you about them, and they tell how strict they was in their Sabbath keeping and how that nobody would speak that they wasn't holy people. But he couldn't have said that if they kept a different Sabbath day of the week than he did. And we done seen that they kept lunar Sabbaths, Philo did. And then you can tie Josephus in there when Josephus spoke highly of Philo.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I tell you, I hope people are understanding some of this. This is the historical some of the historic stuff, and of course I really wasn't too much ready to talk about because I got it all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it on my website if anybody wants to go over it. It's lunarsabbath.info, because we don't want to forget.
Yeah,
you don't take.
You got worlds of information right there on your website, and we offer it also on our website. That it's just like it. Well, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Brother Arnold, we're challenging people and we're offering a $10,000 reward for anyone that can prove in the Bible a Sabbath on any other day other than the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. What's so hard about that for the people out here?
I don't know. Think about this. You know, if we were Sunday keepers and said, we challenge somebody, we'll challenge them, we prove Saturday wrong, and they're supposed to keep the first day of the week, and that's really the seventh day of the week or something like that,
mm-hmm.
they would jump all over them. But here we are. See, the Sunday people are afraid of the Saturday people because they'll tell them don't get around them, you know.
Right.
Because they know they can't defend their doctrine. Why don't, when we offer to pay the broadcast, give them equal time? We won't say nothing. They didn't talk 5 minutes. We talk 5 minutes.
Right.
We'll rebuttal back and forth.
Right.
And let people hear both sides of the matter.
Right.
Why don't somebody, now you know good and well as many people's hearing this, somebody should stand up and earnestly contend for the faith, you know.
Amen, brother.
But they won't do it, brother, buddy, because they can't defend their doctrine. And I believe if we keep pushing it hard enough, somebody might try.
Well, we hope and trust that someone with enough spiritual integrity, even if they're wrong, You shouldn't be ashamed to be wrong. You should be ashamed to stay wrong after you hear the truth. Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly right. Listen, absolutely. Truth has no fear of close scrutiny. It has no fear of open debate. And if somebody feels like they have the truth on something, they'll jump right in there. But yet they don't do it. These guys, you know, who they get back there and they write these little articles and these books and call lunar sabbaths false. And if they're false, Yahweh taught it in his word that what they're doing is calling Yahweh false. So they'll get back and they'll write, and they love to do stuff in darkness sleep, but they won't jump out there and earnestly contend. I had one brother, I debated him on the internet for 5 years on this thing, and he never would debate it. So somebody on the radio with me, somebody here both sides, he said he wasn't fast enough on his feet, you know.
Right.
What it was, he didn't have nothing. He didn't want to get put on the spot.
Exactly right, and that's exactly why. I mean, we don't challenge those that keep Saturday or those that keep Sunday, either one, because you're going to have to keep a Sabbath, because the fourth commandment, and the Bible said, he that says he loves Yahweh and won't keep his commandments is a liar and the truth ain't in him. And the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says that Satan wanted to set upon the mount of the congregation. That word congregation, Brother Arnold, is to rule over the times and the seasons. That
Moed.
Moed, right. In other words, I will set the Moeds and the times and the seasons. And that's exactly what the Roman Catholic Church done. She's the whore of Revelation 17, and she thought of Daniel 7:25 when the prophets of the Holy Spirit, they reveal long before the whore started her trickery to change times and laws, they came in there and did so at the expense of the house of Israel, who was scattered abroad. And they went out, Brother Arnold, and the Bible said, learn not the ways of the heathen. Well, they went right out, the lost sheep of Israel, they went out, and they lost their times. And you know, the Bible says, I think maybe you quoted this in part two of our series here, that Yahweh said that they would forget his Sabbaths.
Yeah, Lamentation 2:6. He said he'll cause his Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. And if, of course, they had forgot him when he went down in Egypt. And he had to make it known to Moses when he come out of Egypt. And guess what date it was on?
Yeah, what date?
He said he spoke to him on the 15th. This is in Exodus 16. Spoke to him on the 15th. Said, when it gets evening, I'm going to give you quail. So he wasn't going to give it to him on the sweetest Sabbath, right?
Right.
And when it gets evening, the Sabbath will end, I give them quail. And in the morning of the same evening morning, and that's the day, he said, you'll get manna. So the first day of manna was on the 16th. So they got, he said, you'll get it for 6 days. So they got it the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21. He said, you won't find it the next day, Moses. That's the Holy Shabbat. And he made moon to another moon. Moses dated this event.
He did.
Give a date, the 15th day of the moon.
Oh, praise
and
Yahweh.
The Sabbath was on the 22nd day of the moon.
How about that?
Deductive reasoning teaches that the 29th was a Sabbath after 6 working days, and the 29th would be a Sabbath. And then if you leave the gate open on the new moon of the 29th and the new moon, your next Sabbath will be on the 8th. The seventh day of the week will be on the 8th day of the month.
Well, you know, Brother Arnold, I've heard this remark from some of our opposition that they, you know, through the grapevine, that they say, well, I would debate them, but they're full of hate. Well, truth is called hate by those who hate the truth. And if we don't have the truth, then their truth will expose our hatred. But if we've got the truth, it will expose them who hate the truth.
Well, if they love us, they need to get us out of our error. Because I don't want to die and go to hell, and I know you don't. And we're crying aloud and sparing not. People have come up with all kind of sayings and reason they don't want to do this, don't want to do that. But Paul and them debated throughout the temples and in the synagogues daily and different places. And you know,
some people will hear it, some people ain't going to hear it no matter what you tell them.
Well, that's right. Now, let's go back to the solar calendar for just a moment, Brother Arnold. Okay, now, let's start out on the solar calendar, which it would be 7, 14, 21, and 28. Is that correct?
Yeah, they count one, they count the new moon as day one.
Yeah.
And the 6 working days.
Exactly right. So, now, what if they start out on that solar date, it has to change. Eventually, it changes just like the Gregorian calendar. Now, it's a pretty accurate calendar. For 3,300 years, it's accurate within one day in solar. Now, that's pretty accurate. But that one day, we're not pitching horseshoe here. We're trying to get right. You can get close and go to hell. Hell is paved, you know, the way to hell is paved with good intentions of people saying, well, I want to be sure and keep the Sabbath. Well, we've been so indoctrinated with a calendar that they give us free of charge and hung on the wall. They've made such an example of the time and the corruption. That's what Babylon is, Babel, of the time they did it, Brother Arnold. Even in the days of Babylon, and Babylon just keeps renewing itself, and they get smarter and smarter. And the Bible said the knowledge of the wicked will increase, and that the knowledge of Yahweh's people will decrease. And then he said, will I? He didn't say would. He said, will I find people that's got faith to keep my laws and my commandments? Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, you're self-employed, and of course, I'm retired. It's very easy for me and you, being self-employed, I know you turned down a lot of business. I've known you for years, and you've turned down, you don't even answer your phone on the Sabbath day related to your business. That's your day of worship. Now, it could fall on a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday.
That'd be like me gathering manna.
Exactly. Exactly. And you've honored that, and you've been blessed, and I know, I don't know where you still do, but I know that you took a vow to fast every Sunday, not because that was the Sabbath, but you did that long before you got into revelation of the truth, and you still honor that.
Yes, sir, I do. I was so glad that Yahweh saved me, and I thought Sunday was Sabbath day, so I purposed in my heart not to eat or drink anything from sunup to sundown on Sunday, and I've been doing that over 30-something years now.
Yes, you have.
And you know, it just, any little thing that we can do to get closer to Him, we're better off. But before we go too far, maybe being we lost that, didn't get a good recording on that last program, maybe we can mention the three things. You know, I told you, these three things, if somebody to do any one of these three things in Scripture, the Sabbath will be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Now, here's
okay.
The first in Ezekiel 46, and I'm going to read just 1 through 3.
All right.
Thus saith the Master Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open.
Okay.
This teaches us that they're not one of the 6 working days. And verse 3 says, likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yahweh in the Sabbath and in the new moon. Now, if somebody will do this, if when the new moon comes around, count it as a worship day and not one of the 6 working days. Guess what? Then your 6 working days and your 7th day rest will be on the 8th day
of the month. Amen, brother. Amen.
Now, that's one thing. That's just one thing. A major thing somebody could do, but they won't do, is believe the Scripture where it says in Leviticus 23, these are my feasts. The word feast is moed. It means appointments. Holy convocations, they're worship days. And it's talking about the weekly Sabbath throughout the year after 6 work days. Now, Psalms 104:19 says he appointed the moon for worship days, or it says seasons in that verse, but it's the same word as feast, and it's Moed. The moon is for Moed, not man. He didn't point man for Moed. Man will forget and do this and that, and it's unreliable. The moon is a faithful witness. She utters her voice throughout all the heavens, from one end of the earth to the other.
Amen.
She don't lie.
Amen.
Now, the moon is appointed for Moed. The weekly Sabbath is a Moed.
and it don't take no rocket science. You can argue, well, it ain't for the weekly Moed, but it's the first one listed over there in Leviticus 23. Now, Genesis 1:14 also says that he made two great lights, and it's the same word made there as appointed. He appointed two great lights for Moed. You see that word seasons again, and it's Moed.
Yes, you do.
Now, if people would just believe that, the Sabbath then will be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd. And if you can't do either one of them, all you got to do is go to Leviticus 23 and just follow them instructions and don't add to and take away.
Amen.
With the seventh month, it says right there that you don't work over 6 days before you rest the seventh. So start in the first month and just follow the instructions. You'll keep the first day of the month to be a worship day. Then you'll have six work days. You can't go over 6 days. You got to keep the seventh.
And
it would be on the eighth day of the month.
Amen.
And then after the eighth, though, you got what? It's a problem for the traditional Sabbath people. It's not for us. You'll have the ninth day. Is not a worship day, but the tenth is. It's another worship day,
mm-hmm.
Day of Atonement,
mm-hmm.
in the seventh month.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll work the ninth and worship the tenth, but then you'll have the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. That you can work, but then you got another worship day on the 15th, and then you got the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 21st, that's 6 days. Then you got another worship day on 22.
Amen.
And then, of course, on 29, and then leave the gate open on the new moon, and you'll have it on the 8th, and just go through the whole year if you follow the instructions.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's this thing's hidden in simplicity.
Amen. And Brother Arnold, we talked about this, and since we didn't get all that on tape, I'm glad you brought that in. And remember, we finalized and climaxed that message with Isaiah 66, verses 22 through 24. Now, here's what it says, and this should be a wake-up call to every Sabbatarian in the land that wants to go to heaven with a righteous heart. When we get in the new kingdom, this is what we labor for. We talked about this is why that we labor, and this is why we suffer, and this is why that we have to go against the Roman calendar and be odd, to the world, because we're peculiar. But here we are, and it says this. It don't say, Brother Arnold, that when we get in the new millennial, that we will keep Saturday or we'll keep Sunday. It don't mention either one of those days. It doesn't mention the seventh day, but it does mention something that you just described in Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. It says, from one new moon to the next. Everybody gets in the new millennial kingdom will keep a Sabbath from one new moon to the other, and from one Sabbath to the other. Is that what you just explained there?
Yeah, the worship days. He said they'll come and worship on them days. And before I forget, too, you know that it's impossible to have a Sabbath on the 15th 2 months in a row, but yet they did in the Scripture. I mean, with a traditional Sabbath. Let's say if you have a Sabbath on the 15th in the first month,
mm-hmm.
then you count 1 through 7 over and over and over. When you get the new moon and count it as one of the six working days,
right.
then your Sabbath in the second month will be on the 14th.
Yes,
but yet we find it on the 15th in the second month because they didn't count the new moon.
Amen.
And that had to have been lunar Sabbath. And let me show you this. In Deuteronomy there, I think it's 5th chapter, it talks about how to remember the Sabbath day. Now, we know one reason to remember the Sabbath day is he rested, and we'll be imitators of him. He rested on the seventh day in creation. Now, Deuteronomy 5, and I think verse 15, I'm not sure, it says, I think it's maybe 11 through 15, but it says, remember the Sabbath day, 6 days you labor and do your work.
Amen.
Then it gets on down there and says, remember that you was a servant in the land of Egypt, and he brought you out. It teaches there in Deuteronomy 5 that he brought them out on and give them rest on the 15th day. He said, therefore, Yahweh, thy mighty one, commands thee to keep the seventh day. And he's talking about the 15th. You know how we read over there the weeks were lunar
a while ago
in the Pentecost?
Right.
So the 15th is the day that he brought them out according to Numbers 33
Amen.
And 3.
Amen.
So he gave them deliverance from Egypt. People say, well, how could it be a Sabbath when they were traveling? They were thrust out. They were driven out. He said, eat it in haste. He said, you're going to be thrust out.
Amen.
And what better day to give them rest than on the week of Sabbath? And I tell them, I say, well, we know it was the first day of living bread. They ain't supposed to be working on that day either.
That's correct.
They said they was working because they was being thrust out. But the Messiah said, you hypocrites, you can loose your ox on the Sabbath
That's
day. And
said.
This woman that's been over all these 18 years, she should not be loosed on the Sabbath day. And they want to holler because the children of Israel got loosed on the weekly Sabbath from the Egypt bondage. Had they stayed there, they'd been working.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's just a lot of rhetoric.
Oh, man. Brother Arnold, we could go on and on and on and on about this. We gotta wrap it up here because you're going to be coming on here, and we got to get off to make room for you. You'll be coming on the next 30 minutes here following our radio.
Our hour done went by.
It's done gone by, brother.
Man, that sure does go fast.
It sure does. Now, give us your website and give us your telephone number.
Go over to lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info, or you can call as soon as the broadcast is over. Air code is 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542.
Well, praise Yahweh, and everybody that needs information, Brother Arnold's got a website that is chock full of information about the lunar Sabbath. He's probably the world's foremost, and I really acknowledge him to be the world's foremost scholar in the Sabbath. He's done a lot of studying here in the last 20 years about this matter. So if you'd like information and factual, I'm talking about factual information. Brother Arnold, you also offer a booklet that you've updated, and we're gonna get that updated book. You're gonna send it to me, and we're gonna make that available to everybody free of charge. All they gotta do is call me or you, either one. You can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172, or you can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. We love you and we appreciate you, Brother Arnold. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. Time has just flown by. We love you, and I'll see you again. You'll be joining me Monday night at 9 o'clock on Worldwide WWRB 3.185. Have a great one, brother.
Enjoyed being with you.
Yahweh bless you.
Shalom.
And Yahweh bless you, and shalom. And here's Brother Blake to take us out of here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we love you very much. Brother Blake, take us out of here.